Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
This is being pre-recorded, first day of August.
That's right.
And it's like, what, 3 weeks before football season?
That's, man, can't wait.
3 weeks. Fridays.
Yes, yes, sir.
It's going fast.
Big thing in football, the commissioner and the Cowboys are taking a big stand on their players.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or the song,
you're out of here.
You're out of here.
Yeah, and that is directly in relation to the Donald Trump's stance or theory of the national anthem and how you're supposed to honor it. And again, our president, I think, has stepped over the line when he starts to dib and dab in the sports.
Yes, sir.
Okay, he's got enough worries to keep him occupied versus going after these NFL players, man. But, you know, I guess you can do it.
Man, they,
I don't agree with it.
Yeah, they going after, who's that, Philadelphia had responded to them. And then Prescott and Ezekiel, and them, they trying to come back like, we real Americans.
Right.
I'm like, well, I've seen actual soldiers take a knee.
Okay. Yeah, don't get this thing twisted, man. It all started out for a cause, for a reason, and it's gotten elevated to politics.
That's right.
And it's not right. It's taking out of context. Every day in this country, we read about unarmed black men getting killed.
Man.
And that's the reason this whole thing started, was to bring awareness to that situation.
Yes.
And say, as a community, as a country, we need to say enough is enough.
That's right. And then, so why not the brothers that's out there in large numbers in the sports arena take a stance for the little kids in the community that love them so much and gives them the ratings to say, hey, these brothers are out here taking a stance for me.
Right.
Because they're wealthy and they're rich. They're part of the top 10% of this country. So they like, well, what about the communities I come from and the people that I left behind? Look how you're treating them.
Right. It's very true, man.
I always got to take that quote. I can't just shut up and dribble or take the ball and run.
No, but, you know, some guys will and some guys won't. And there's always been the discussion about athletes taking a stand because of brand today. Right?
Yes, because of their brand.
Right. And we know who the biggest sports figure was in this country that took a stand that basically cost him his career in his prime, and that's Muhammad Ali.
That's right, Muhammad Ali, number one.
But he believed in what he was doing, and he stood up, and it cost him. But when we look back today, he's probably one of the most honored and revered sports athletes in America.
Ever. Ooh, that's I'm the greatest.
So
I'm pretty, you know, ever.
It's to each his own, how you want to address this thing, how you want to stand up for it. But I truly believe that it is not a political issue.
No, it's not at all.
When you look at the documentary, the Trayvon Martin documentary came out. I know Jay-Z and LeBron James put up $1 million apiece, I think.
Oh, is that right?
For that documentary. Yeah, so that came out, I think, yesterday on Netflix or something. So I'm going to get up checking that out. But also, Louis Farrakhan has something coming out also. I know Big Rob, part of our radio station, is part of the, those supporting those brothers. And I support Louis Farrakhan, too. They canceled his documentary.
Oh, wow.
Netflix. I'm like, hold up. How could you get it all made and all ready to produce, and then you canceled it? Who put the call in?
Somebody made a call and said, no, we're not going to sign off on that one.
Man, that's a lot of knowledge, though, man. Yeah, Farrakhan dropped gems.
And unfortunately, there's no BET network to go to anymore because
that's right.
They've been sold.
Yes.
And Paramount owns BET. They've been sold a number of times, but not Paramount owns.
So they control the programming.
There you go.
On what we get and the messages we hear. So that's... That puts us in a little paradigm, a little blocks in a box right there, where they only make sure that we only get certain messages sent to us.
Yeah.
So, man, that's rough.
It is. But, you know, in light of that, there are some athletes doing great things, such as LeBron.
Yes, it is.
With the opening of the school for at-risk kids in Akron.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think the brother gets enough credit,
man, look,
for what he does.
I'm going to give him credit for this, for taking – who won the championship? The basketball championship? Who won the basketball championship?
People out in Golden State.
They did.
They won it.
It's the way LeBron functioned.
Ew, no.
It seemed like he won it.
He won. He's the king.
It seemed like he got swept. It don't even seem like he got swept because he took the whole media this summer.
Yes, he did. He owned the media this summer. Yes, he did. Where is LeBron going? What is he doing?
What is he doing with his life? What are his kids doing? They playing AAU. What is his wife doing? Yeah. Look at his mama. Look at his school.
Right. It's his brand, man.
Man.
And I didn't get a chance to read it, but it was just a little clip that went across the internet about him and his team cutting this $1 billion deal. I got to go back and get into it, but it just came across the internet as I was shutting down my computer from the office. LeBron and his team, who are guys that they told him that he was not very smart for hiring those guys.
Oh, his friends.
His friends to be his business managers.
Man, right? Those guys are amazing. Undisputed.
But these guys have done a great job.
Man, have they done a great job? They have surpassed expectations.
All expectations, man.
I love the guy that's older than him, that runs the Chase Uninterrupted for him.
Okay.
Chase Uninterrupted is a YouTube station where it takes athletes, former and latter and current, and it takes them and it talk about their finances, when they're going to buy a car, when they're going to buy their first house.
Really? I've never heard
of
that.
It's a great YouTube segment. I can't remember the guy's name, but his LeBron James friend. He was in the 12th grade. LeBron was in the 9th grade. And LeBron looked up to him when he was in the 9th grade.
Okay.
And he showed LeBron the ropes around the private school.
Okay.
And now he's been working with LeBron all these years.
Yeah, these guys don't have MBAs.
Yeah.
All right? They're not Harvard graduates.
They educated now because he paid for their education. He paid for the education.
They're not MBAs.
Nope, they're not.
Okay, which coming out of high school, people were saying those are the kind of folks you got to surround yourself by.
He got so much scrutiny.
No, I'm going to take my guys from the streets.
Man, he got scrutinized so hard for taking those guys.
Yes, he did.
Every move he's made has been a blessing.
He's like the Midas touch.
Man, he's got it.
But
let's hit on the school. I'm an educator, so this is how I look at the school. I've been to the bottom in Akron, okay?
Okay.
I've been to the bottom. It's the projects. It's like, say you go down Getty Street now. Getty dip into a hill.
Mm-hmm.
This is a steeper hill that goes into the projects.
Okay.
LeBron's from there.
That's where you're originally from.
He's from the neighborhood where he's put the school in it.
Single parent.
Yep, single parent home. He missed 85 days in the fourth grade. We've had kids like that in the past, third and fourth graders. So imagine somebody in third grade missing 85 days of school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a critical age where you're supposed to learn how to read and write, comprehension, basic math fundamentals. And you take those tests, the MEEP, NWA in our school district. You take certain tests to see where your level is at.
Right.
Your
right,
reading scores. Yeah, your F&Ps. So all that data is put in. And you missed 85 days?
Yeah, you don't get to graduate. You don't move to the next grade.
You going instead. Straight special ed.
Right.
A 504 plan going to say he can't read. He can't write. But fortunately enough for LeBron James, one of those five friends, I think it was the Walkers, mm-hmm. moved him in, and his mom went to a rehab or something, got her life together, and they took care of LeBron from the fifth grade on.
Okay.
And he had straight A's after that. So LeBron noticed something. When his conditions changed,
okay,
what he thought about himself, his self-esteem and confidence changed. That's why he's such of a giver.
That he is.
He plateaued as soon as the family said, you with us now. And we're going to help your mama. We're going to put in a situation. Your mama going to be able to come see you, but you with us.
Okay. Yeah,
you
won't be missing no 85 days of school again.
Yep,
that won't happen.
We won't at all. And I just want to shed some light on our community. I'm not bashing our community or anything, but I'm just looking at our community right now, Tony. We got East Park Manor here, right?
Okay.
And I was out there yesterday just looking. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We probably had 5 or 6 churches in that area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Muskegon Healthcare.
Right on the corner on Breaker.
Right.
On Getty.
On Getty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the projects right across the street.
Yes, they are.
Then you got a school that used to be open.
Yep. Martin Luther King.
Yep. So I always think that, like, what happened where the services couldn't somehow overlapped? Where that school could have remained open like LeBron just did, because his school is a public school.
Right.
But he's fronting some of the money. So I already see what he's doing. He's fronting some of the money, and the school's giving him a match. So then as his numbers improve, he'll get another increase.
Okay.
So I'm looking at it like man, if we don't stop duplicating services, we're going to dig a hole in our community where we're going to have holes in the ground instead of schools. Period.
Schools. Yeah.
This is being blunt and truthful, because LeBron just stepped in and was like, look, I got this funding. We could do A, B, and C, and we don't have to overlap services. I'm going to take the kids, that's the 85 days attendance, the behavior problems, mm-hmm. all these things, and we're going to put them in this school with me, and I can guarantee you their life going to change.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not for profit. He's not going to profit out of this deal.
Not going to make no money.
Okay. But he's seen the need for a school in his community for at-risk children, to where he has dedicated and also given money to make sure that these kids get a better shot at life than what he got.
Yeah, I know. When we go this October, I'm gonna take off school, and we're gonna be gone. I'm going to visit that school that Thursday. We're gonna get down there that Thursday. I'm gonna make sure I make it there Friday morning instead of going to the Nike clinic. I'm gonna spend that day in that school that Friday. Okay. Because I'm gonna see if we can contact his coach and everything. Say, look, man, connect us with that. I want to see what that looks like. But then taking it back and just looking at that school, it's like you said, taking the kids, single parent homes, all these paradigms. But then there's an extension within the school where it's free transportation, free breakfast, lunch, and dinner. School day start. They started at the end of July. Their first day was July like 28th.
Right, right. They in school.
They in school.
Yes.
They in school a longer day. Then he's controlling their extracurricular activities, or mm-hmm. whatever they do. Then he has the platform for career and college readiness in that grade level to show their kids their pathways, but also their parents, when they come in that building, they can receive services for trades and things like job preparation and resume, right?
That's awesome, man.
And they can eat with their kids. So I wonder what the lunch menu going to look like.
Okay.
You know, Whole Foods, all those things. Because, you know, that man, LeBron James, spent $1.5 million on his body.
On his body.
So that's going to be it. The kids going to be like, I've never seen that before. That burger looked too good.
Yeah.
So I know it's going to be to that extent. So I got to make sure that we get down there and just walk through that building and just be in that presence. And I like the way they also did. I've been watching all the videos on YouTube, on CNN, a guy that does a CNN, where he has all his sneakers that he's ever worn, 144 pair.
In the school.
In the school.
Right.
And they all been auctioned off.
Right.
And the money go back to the school.
Is that awesome, man? That's neat,
that brother is amazing, you know, man. I bought some LeBrons the other day, too.
I would, too. I would support this guy,
I bought
man.
Some 15s. So.
This is not about basketball. He has used basketball as a platform to help others in life. You know, he still got the scholarship.
Yep.
Yep. Still out there.
That's okay? Still out there.
For the kids that want to go to
if
college.
If they graduate, they got it.
They got to want to graduate. They still got their college paid for.
And then his coach that was a high school coach, he's one of the advisors at the school, psychiatrist, and he's a basketball coach at Akron. So, and I asked him, I said, why you won't leave Akron? He said, would you leave?
No.
He said, my team is sponsored by LeBron. I'm LeBron high school, last coach that he had before he went pro. And he named all of them. I was like, he said, I don't have to change. Everywhere I go around the city, everybody know who I am.
Right.
He about 5'4", too. He's short, dude. But he's like, you see his smile. And he said, man, LeBron is a giver. He been like that his whole life. So he was
the
best kid to coach.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's got all of the fancy stuff,
yeah.
You know, but rarely do you hear about things that he buys that we say is kind of foolish.
Yep.
All right, if he don't make it public knowledge.
Yep. He has on the Undisputed where he talks about, like, you know, his wife collect purses, right?
Okay.
He collect cars.
Okay.
So that he got it like that, though.
But see, he said he collect cars. That means he's doing that as an investment.
That's an investment. Yeah, he got some. Okay. He got some ones that resell high.
Watch that TV show that where they have the car auctions on.
Yes, sir.
Where some of these cars that are old vintage cars sell for 10, 20 times what they were actually worth when they were manufactured.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you collect cars when you do it for an investment. He don't drive them around town.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, he probably only drove it once. That was to get it to the house.
Yes, that's right. You're right. So he does his thing. You know, he got his hood rides. I know he got one of those vans.
Okay.
You know, he got the Lambo, got some other things. But it's just looking at that, I like the body of work of the brother because there has not been a scandal on him since the $90 million from Nike. Was that a scandal?
That's not a scandal.
That's taking a paycheck.
You know, if you want to talk about what his – you know, dark days in the media was, you know, they made a big deal about when he announced he was leaving Cleveland.
Yeah.
Going to South Beach.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's the only knock. And truthfully, that's not even a knock. But you can't say anything bad about this guy, man. He spoke the other day about his son. He named his first son LeBron James Jr.
Yes, sir.
And he said he kind of regrets that he did that now because he never had a father. But he always said to himself that when I have my first son, I'm going to name him after me, and I'm going to give him all the things that a father would give a son. But he said that because of who he is and now what the expectations are for LeBron James Jr. That's the only reason he is saying that he kind of regrets that he gave him his surname. But it is what it is. And, of course, I mean, we look back, Michael Jordan kids – right, they were okay ball players, but none of them ever panned out, and that's a hard road to follow when your dad. I mean, Magic Johnson same way.
Yeah.
Okay, he had sons, but none of them ever ever turned out to follow his footsteps as a basketball player. So I see where he's coming from.
His one son that's from Lansing, that's from another mother, that's not from Cookie. Yeah. He's a good business owner. Okay. He helps Magic some of his businesses.
Oh, okay.
Then the other boy, that's the tall one.
Right.
He made his own career path choice. He chose his own. He's like into fashion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so. You heard he was into fashion. Yeah. So, hey, you know, it is what it is. And again, my hat is off to LeBron, regardless if you're a fan or not of his basketball play. But as a person, as an individual, as a dad, you got to say, hey, man, salute.
Yeah, you do. No doubt. Definitely do. So, what I had today was, we got one more tidbit that's out there.
That broke news earlier today, yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Donald Trump saying that you need to show your ID card if you have an EBT card, or from our era, we talk about food stamps. If you have food coupons, you can't just go in and pay for your food. You got to show your ID.
You got to swipe.
How do you regulate that? So they're going to swipe your ID?
Probably, because most state ID. If you don't have a driver's license, you'll have a state ID.
And on the back of it, got that line.
It's got that code on it.
It's like when you buy alcohol. If you buy alcohol, they swipe it certain places.
That's a lot of places now will use that barcode on the back. What's that for? I don't have a clue.
To track how much alcohol you buying, probably. Wow.
Okay, well, some stores don't require it. So, I mean, well, it is what it is. But this is the first step in the process for him to basically dismantle or do away with the food stamp system.
Mm.
Okay, we talked about that, the American Harvest, about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yes, we did.
Ultimately, this is going to go away. And this is just the first step in the process.
You're going
to
get you a box.
Dismantling. That's right.
You're going to get you a box. Because then he just gave the farmers $12 billion, right?
Right.
Some of the farmers are going to do is go buy another truck and buy a bigger.
He ruined their economy
with
the tariffs, because the Chinese bought probably 90% of the soybean crops in this country. And then when he told them, we're going to start slapping tariffs on your goods and services, they said, okay, fine, we're going to stop buying soybeans from America. So those folks that voted from him out of the heartland of America are the ones that are being hurt. And now he's trying to make a peace to them with this $12 billion welfare system, because that's all it is. It's a welfare system, but it's for the farmers. And the smart farmers are saying, no, we don't want that. We want you to reduce, you know, lift these tariffs so we can go back to do business like we were.
Because
if
I'm a small farm, because if you give me a handout, that means I can take a shortcut on my production.
Well, yeah, because you won't be selling your production. So what are you going to do when the $12 billion is over, you know, when they disperse that? And that might last you a year or 2 years, depending on how many farmers apply for it. So now what are you going to do year 3, year 4, year 5?
You're going to make it up.
Okay. You're going to try to get rid of your farm. Some mega farm might come along and buy it for pennies on a dollar and turn it into condos or whatever. Who knows?
Or mechanize the farm, period. Just straight up mechanize it and do their thing with it. And next thing you know, you're making some alternative product out of it.
Yeah, but these small family farms that's been handed down for centuries, where great-grandfathers owned these farms and ran these farms, is going to go away because these people can't sustain operating a farm because it costs a lot of money. You know, you look at some of these combines, they got on these farms, man, these things are hundreds of thousands of dollars. You could have 4 or 5 of them. It's like, it's ridiculous.
And then with the, even locally for us, they're getting ready to push the marijuana initiative.
Yeah.
So then what's going to happen with that farm that's not being used?
Well, it might become a marijuana farm.
Man, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah. So he's not, you know, this guy is such a tyrant that it doesn't matter who you are. If he has an agenda and he wants to push it and you get hurt in the process, then so be it.
That's your fault.
Yeah.
Become smarter.
Yeah.
Make more money. I'm rich.
Yeah, Harley Davidson.
That's the privileged mindset.
One of the, you know, companies in this country that basically came back from ruins.
They had to go overseas, didn't they?
They had to move part of their production over to the UK, which is the United Kingdom, because of the tariffs that was going to be imposed on his products that's going out of the country. It's cheaper to go over there. So a lot of the people that...
So that's not American-made motorcycle no more.
Well, it won't be when you build it in...
Harley Davidson is America.
It's an American institution, man.
That's like when your Chevy not really your Chevy no more. That's like that right now. You that's got Chevys with trunks made in China.
Oh, yeah.
Cars made in China.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mexico. Very few are actually manufactured totally. You know, the last facility in this country was the Ford Rouge plant.
That's right.
Where you would have raw materials on one end of that manufacturing facility, and on the other end, you actually sent out a finished product. Okay, it was a one-of-a-kind operation, but it's nothing like it used to be because of all this importing and exporting of parts and services and goods. It just became, you know, cost-effective not to try to do all that under one facility.
Man, that's amazing. And then when you look at it, like you said, it's too costly.
It's too costly.
Like I was seeing a special it was a couple of months ago with the cowboat in I think it was in Africa, a country in Africa, the Congo.
Oh, Congo. Yep.
And they had cowboat used for cars like Audi, the luxury cars.
Okay.
Have them go fast. You got cowboat as that
material.
That raw material.
Using those kids.
Yeah, they're using those kids.
In those mines to mine and manufacture that stuff. Yeah.
That's the way to beat the tariffs.
That's it.
Buy the cobalt at a low cost, but you can make somebody rich that run this facility, but these are set up illegally.
Illegally.
Where they taking kids, where they not mixing them to school, and they're putting them in these concentration camps, and they digging for the cobalt.
That's what they're doing, man. You know, just as an example.
Mercedes, Audi, all the luxury cars are buying this cobalt.
It is, man. And I seen that on CBS.
Man, that's crazy.
Real. Yeah, you know, the finished product is like it sells for $1,000 a pound, okay? And to actually extract it out of there, it costs them $10 per se.
Yeah, for that pound.
Yeah, but yeah, on the open market, they sell it for $1,000.
You guys had bankrolls in their hand, didn't it?
Major markup. Yeah, from Africa.
Woo.
The country with one of the most abundant natural resources in the world.
But then it's
been
poor.
Been totally taken advantage of by the Western world. Diamonds, gold, tin, bronze, copper, you name it. You know, that country is abundant. But yet, they really rarely do they benefit from the total manufacturing or mining of these natural resources.
So like when it's a raw material, they don't give them the value of it.
No.
They're just like, all right, we're going to pay you this much. We'll give you the top man this to get these 50 people organized, and you just pay the 50 people.
Yeah, it's just really another form of slavery.
Yes, it is. Speaking of robbing people, crooks are trying to create a new you. We got something called synthetic ID theft. Now, before I get into that, you're like, okay, why would we talk about that today? Mm-hmm. Well, audience, if you've been getting strange phone calls, Tony, your knee hurt. Give us your information. We'll send you out a free knee brace.
Give you a knee brace or a back brace.
Yeah. Somebody called me. I was cracking up laughing. They called me. This is the IRS. I was like, I say, you're so funny. I say, if I could track this number, I'm about to call the cops.
Right.
I say, because I talked to my accountant last week. And I say, I'm not in no trouble with no IRS. I say, you're trying to see what else? I say, tell me my Social Security number.
Okay.
If you so good with my information.
You're the IRS.
They was just like, oh, we're sorry for contacting you. I say, look, man. I say, y'all done probably called 1,000 people today.
You called the wrong guy.
I say, you done called the wrong guy.
First of all, the IRS is not going to call you, okay? You are going to receive a letter, a series of letters, or potential email, or certified mail.
Somebody going to bring it.
Okay. But they don't call. It's up to you to respond, okay? They don't warn you. They don't threaten you with a phone call.
You go default, 30 days, 60 days, 90-day default. Then when you default, and then the envelope letter changed, the color changed.
They'll send you that letter that says your house has now have a lien placed on it by the IRS.
Yes, sir.
Your bank account now has been frozen by the IRS. Your checking or your savings account or your payroll is also frozen by the IRS. You will respond when you get those kinds of letters to the number that is in that letter. They will not call you.
Nope.
So that's good, Coach. And, you know, there's been a lot of those calls.
Man, a lot of those calls. They call it synthetic ID theft. So it says criminals are fabricating new identities to open fraudulent lines of credit, typically by combining stolen Social Security numbers with fictional information. So they're making virtual people.
Right.
And they're pretending to be you. I meet with clients a lot of times. A lot of people say, Chauncey, help me out. Just do it over the phone. I say, no, I want to meet you face to face. So I pull a client's credit report the other day. We eating breakfast. I bring my laptop with me, and we're going over this information. And he had a credit card on it. It said Fingerhood. I was like, red alert, red alert. He was like, why? He said, I said, man, what's that? What you got a Fingerhood for?
Yeah. Who has a finger hut credit card?
I say, man, that's an identity theft scam.
He never knew about it.
He was like, they say $700. I say, look, they only use so much of it, but they use like $450 or $700. So I say, and they was paying something.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, they get ready to get something else. They building a fake identity up in your credit. So people that's listening right now, if you got something on your credit that's fraudulent, go to creditkarma.com, pull your credit file. And you inbox me and call me, and I'll help you. Because we're working on getting out that person's credit report right now. It just happened. He said, Johnson, I have never had no finger hood. He said, right. But I did notice they sent a catalog to my house.
Okay.
So somebody don't care if they're not trying to max his credit out. They get ready to make a fictional character and blow his credit up.
Yeah. Eventually, they're going to nail him with the big purchase.
Yep. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. They're going to get something else because they got the fingerhead card. So now they say, I got credit here. That'll give you a smaller score. Then they probably will get a revolving credit card. Now I've seen people get mortgages hit on
them. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They'll get a mortgage on him or car.
Yep.
Sit around, flip the car, especially, cash it, and walk away.
Especially people that recently die or are incarcerated and they had a good credit history.
Because
there's people like that. They'll take that identity, mix it together, fictional person.
Yep. That's it.
That's called synthetic ID theft.
All right. And it's real, and it's going to happen more frequently now, as these guys get more information.
That's it. And so it says, what's making it more prevalent today? It says, a perfect storm has been forming over the past few years. We have been in very steady credit recovery, right? But some of the old barriers to getting good credit have eased as creditors try to find more people to give credit. We've also seen 10 billion records breached in 2013.
10 billion.
So they ain't catch just, everybody.
No, and it's just not in America, of course. So it's just all over the world.
That's right. So 10 billion people since 2013.
Been compromised.
So if you haven't looked at a Credit Karma, or you have a we talked about a watch a couple weeks ago,
right?
A security watch on your credit. If you don't have it on your credit, I can guarantee you got someone that's make you compromise when your credit score is lower. So if you only time you looking at your credit is when you feel get a car,
Not good.
You're trying to just buy a house. You got a loan. How many times people buy houses in their life? Probably if unless you were an investor, you buying them all the time.
Maybe twice. Three at the most.
Yeah. You buying a car, what? One. You buy a car probably every 5 years if you lead into that.
If you
financing them. So, or you leasing something. So that you thinking about, if you're not checking your credit on a regular, you could be a victim.
Yes. And they've made it easy for you because these are free credit reports. You get one a year. Okay. And they do try to sell you a subscription service as to a credit monitoring. And that's an individual choice. But you definitely need to at least get that one per year to keep track of what is on your credit report.
Yeah. So next question actually says, is it difficult to spot synthetic ID theft? And it says in other types. It says yes, because synthetic ID fraud involves some of people's identities and fictional information. So fortunately, the credit bureaus have developed analytical scores that help them determine when a social security number and identity belongs to the right or wrong person. But that's when you buy a high ticket item.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, it's too late. They didn't got enough information. The finger hut on you. They didn't got a cell phone on you.
Right.
They didn't got a cable bill. So they didn't got things. Yeah. They didn't pay. So then when they come, like, they could come as a physical person now.
Yes, they can.
Like, I'm Johnny B. Gone, and this is my social security number.
Right.
And it's you.
And it's you.
But it's them, but you haven't used it. So they've been using it because they noticed that when they put a hit on it, they say, all right, watch a couple months. 3 months. Okay, he ain't do nothing.
Nothing come back.
He ain't buy nothing. Okay, get this now. I've seen it before.
Okay.
So when it really hits, you'll be like, man, they bought a house. They bought a boat in my name. How they do that? They do it, Tony. It's amazing.
You don't watch it. You got to watch it. You got to watch your credit.
Yep, you got to watch it. So you got to make sure you put those security alerts on your credit cards, on your security. And most importantly, this one right here, because we all done did it. We grew up in an urban community. Put my heat or my cable in my kid's name.
Oh my goodness!
Remember that one?
Oh yeah, selling kids at the end of the year for the IRS. You claim them on their taxes?
Or you put out a cable in your son's name? He five. He
got
grew
bad
up.
Credit.
He got a cable bill from 78. And he like, this is 2015.
Right. Yeah. We know what happens, man. We've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it. So that's a old school way of having a synthetic credit report.
Right. That's when it first started.
So that's when it first started when we was doing it. In the hood, getting something in your baby name. Your baby. He on the college campus. They say, sir, you got a cable bill from 86. I was three.
Right.
So that's the fishing of character part. So I just want to get the audience that at the end, because we know we've all been through some of those scenarios. I'm just saying it because I've helped people that have been in those scenarios. So it's amazing that they mom and them or their dad or put their credit in their kid's name.
He got bad credit. He ain't graduated.
So somebody want to watch some on-demand rap videos, and they got a crazy bill in their kid name, and the kid was a toddler.
Oh, man.
Man, so I got, before we leave, I got something from Good for Nothing. It's from chapter 2. It talks about budget power, trusting God with the least. It says Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take.
That's pathetic.
Yep. Take the path. Listen. Pay attention, audience. I'm Chauncey Wimps.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.